Good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning.
How are you going?
Very good, thank you. How about you?
Pretty well. Now, Open Frame, Room 40, how did it all start? It sounds so interesting.
Room 40 started in 2000, and it started out as a sort of three-part project. It was partly about a label, sort of publishing editions, and then there was a kind of curatorial side, which was about sort of promoting the idea of sound art in Australia at that time. And then there was a sort of festival come sort of concert side. And I guess the Open Frame project sort of grew out of that. And the first one was in about 2006. And sort of since then, it sort of continued annually. And then a few years ago, pretty much in 2015, actually, that year was that when we first did the other event at Carriage Works, we decided to make it a sort of biannual event and make it slightly larger scale and hopefully, you know, attract more people to come down.
Yeah, it's pretty massive. You've got quite an international lineup. Where did you, why these people in particular?
I think, you know, this year I'm very conscious of sort of bringing together particular kinds of work. So people like, you know, Clara Lewis and Sarah DeVarchi and Alicia Crampton, I mean, they all in the last probably 18 months, 2 years, have released a number of editions that, you know, I think strike a very particular individual voice. It's really strong. And, you know, I think it's, evidence of the fact that there's an incredibly powerful female presence in electronic music. And that's something to be celebrated because, you know, probably for too long it's been a bit of a sausage festival. So it's really nice when it isn't that anymore.
For sure.
So obviously having those guys come down here and I hopefully, you know, connect with other artists, it's just a nice way of sort of building that community aspect. And as well, you know, obviously Shushu and Alessandro are incredibly inspirational artists to kind of encounter. Their work is a very particular approach. And I think when you kind of have those opportunities to sort of go head-to-head with it, it can be incredibly inspiring.
Would you consider incorporating more local talent in the future as well?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Basically, to be honest, everyone comes and does shows all around the country. We only have a certain amount of time, unfortunately, at Carriage Works. Our other events that we've done at Carriage Works generally have some more Australian artists performing, but this time, just because of the nature of being able to get these people down here, we decided to put them all on in the 2 days. So, you know, in a perfect world, you'd have a third day or you just, you know, expand everything out by a few more hours. But at some point, fatigue has to set in, I'm sure of it. Even the most diehard listener will, you know, come across at some point.
But for people who aren't very familiar with experimental electronic work, how would you describe it?
I mean, each of those artists is incredibly different with what they do. I mean, someone like, to be frank, I don't actually necessarily really describe it as experimental because a lot of the work isn't experimental. You know, someone like Alessandro Cortini is a huge fan of melody. You know, the way that his songs develop. He has this very innate way of approaching melody. And that's, you know, represented in the stuff that he does with, you know, something like Nine Inch Nails, for example. And it's the same with Shushu. I mean, Jamie Stewart is an incredible songwriter. And his songs might have interesting structures, and they might have experimental elements, but really at the heart of it, they are really glorious pop songs. And he's very good at doing that. For me, you know, I think of the work as being about, I suppose, the real profundity of sound, you know, that when you come to a particular kind of concert and you really focus on listening to the music, there's this thing that happens inside us, which is really, I think, why it is we started being, you know, as a species, being interested in sound and interested in music. You know, it activates something inside us that isn't necessarily activated by other art forms. Something to do with that temporality of being really present and attentive to what it is that you're encountering. And I think as well, the sort of affective relation that we have with music is really, it's really provocative somehow in a way that maybe we don't get in a gallery context where you're kind of encountering work in a different kind of way. There's something very direct with music. And maybe that's to do with the way that it sort of penetrates the body, you know, not just the mind through listening and kind of having a sense of what the words or the sounds offer you, but also that kind of physical contact with the sound as vibration.
Sure. Now, Shushu, they are going to be performing their David Lynch-inspired Twin Peaks album. This was originally commissioned for GOMA a few years back. So why did you want them to bring this work back? Was it a response to the new Twin Peaks season?
Well, it actually just happened to be, because, I mean, this has been on the cards for probably about 12 months, so it just happened to be incredibly good timing. I mean, it's a really beautiful project. Mm. You know, when you listen to that record, obviously you recognize the soundtrack, but there's this kind of repositioning of it somehow that Shuhu achieved that is really, it's really its own thing. I mean, I'm incredibly proud of that project, you know, that it came out of a conversation that I had with Jamie and Shayna when we were in Rotterdam, probably, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago, while we were eating donuts. That's the critical point. We were eating donuts.
That's beautiful.
While we had this. I know, it's absolutely perfect. So to kind of see it come full circle, and originally when we did the original commission with GOMA, you know, that it really only happened that one time here. Mm. And then they took it out and have basically toured it all around the world. And I thought it was a great way to kind of, I guess, wrap up that project. I mean, they've got a few more shows this year, but really these are the last sort of shows of this Twin Peaks project as it stands. So I sort of felt it was a great way to kind of tie the two ends together, you know, the beginning and potentially the end of the project. Mm. And I mean, it's an incredibly powerful performance. Like Jamie, ironically, I was just in Tbilisi in Georgia last week, and Jamie and Shayna were there doing a Shushu tour, and like, honest to God, I was just gobsmacked by how amazing they were. This was the last show of their tour in Europe, and it was just mind-bogglingly amazing. I was surprised, and I don't get surprised easily.
Now, some of the works, particularly called Alessandro's Avanti, it's going to be integrating visuals into the show. So what will we expect when we see that?
Alessandro's work, I mean, it's an incredibly personal work, actually, the Avanti piece, which is basically culled from a whole bunch of Super 8 movies that were made when he was a kid in Italy. So he grew up in Italy, yeah. So it's an amazingly beautiful sort of intimate vision of this other life that, I mean, obviously that he lived, but somehow that we begin to live through watching it. It's really, I've seen the visual materials, and they're really, I mean, obviously Super 8 has this quality that is, even for people who have no idea what Super 8 is, it has this kind of evocative thing about it. You know, there's something way that the colors, you know, Kodachrome was a great color set, you know. And I think once you see the way that those images move, there is something instantly kind of nostalgic, I suppose. It's probably better. In Japanese, there's this word like natsukashi, which doesn't really have an English translation, but it means like a kind of extreme nostalgia, you know, a kind of desire to return back to this thing. And I think that's kind of what happens when you're listening to it. Because, I mean, Alessandro's music has this real drive and force in it that's very, I don't know, there's a kind of, it's like an elation, you know, you kind of get raised up with it. And I think there's this interesting counterpoint there between that and the visual materials. So it's a kind of curious situation that he kind of creates between these two worlds.
Yeah, because you were saying before how people connect physically with sound, especially the vibration. So with the visuals, how does that kind of come together as well?
Well, I think it's about that kind of omnisensorial thing. Mm. You know, like when it's like when you go and see a really great piece of cinema, the same thing happens. I mean, all of these elements are working together to bring about a certain kind of sensation or whatever the case might be. And, you know, I think Alessandro, particularly with these audiovisual works that he does, there really is this kind of pace that they develop, and you kind of become embedded in them in a way which is, I think, really critical. If you're going to work with visual materials in a sort of performance setting, then you want them to hold a relation with the sound. And Alessandro is very good at doing that. He's really conscious of how it is these things integrate together and create this kind of like sensation.
For sure. And it looks like an amazing weekend. It's happening later this month. But Lawrence, thank you so much for chatting to us here on So Hot right now.
My pleasure.